We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Can I tell you my in this again, right, sitting here right now, not knowing everything, but my gut reaction is I sure as hell hope none of the other, they don't expend a single additional draft asset, unless it's a second rounder or something, on offloading salary.
I know.
But you're telling me
at worst, Alec Burks into the Boston Celtics trade player exception for a second round pick isn't doable. Is that what you're going to tell me?
No, I don't, look, I would hope so.
Right.
I just don't know.
But teams are going to say, hey, screw the Knicks when they can get something decent out of it. My question is why the Knicks, I'm fine that they're operating under the cap. I would have preferred over the cap, been over that. It's fine. It's more if they felt that Brunson was going to be a realistic option for them. And if they still feel this way, and obviously he has to put pen to paper, but if they still felt that way, perhaps why they went about signing the players. The only thought process, two contracts are guaranteed for this year. The only thought process is that they still wanted to do that because then they could still trade a player like Burks because they have him under contract and get an asset out of it. Maybe they could do something similar with Fournier, with salary coming back. There are ways they could do it. I just would have thought if they figured all along they're going to be an under the cap team, and maybe that's why they didn't make Mitch a restricted free agent last year, that they would have considered going about it slightly differently, but it doesn't matter because they've worked their way under.
Can I have a quick shout out? Just interrupt this for a little bit.
Let's do the super chats.
Well, we got 1,500 people watching us live right
Ooh.
Now.
Oh, so, thanks, everybody.
Shout out to the Knicks. Thank you.
Yeah, shout out to the Knicks for making this interesting. And one point, I don't know which pod it was on that we said this, which I understand, John, the energy of like they better. If you're doing all this, it better be because you know. But like, what have you been saying for weeks? That if we see them start to all of a sudden,
I know,
make moves where it's just like, all right, they're clearing cap space. You got to think it's because they've got some type of inside. I know, shocker, teams talk to players before the moratorium's lifted, but
maybe one talks to his son.
Right. Like,
I'm not even going to make the obvious joke. Like,
could this be confidence that they're going to, that they got something with Brunson in the bag?
Hey, Dad, could you pass the bread and also $25 million?
Yeah,
$25 million a year.
I wish I knew what picks they had gotten from this so I could put my head on the pillow tonight and sleep easy, because even if in a vacuum, the notion of Jalen Brunson, even at $25 million a year, being more valuable than a amorphous 11th pick and a draft. I need something else. I don't know if you feel differently, Jeremy, but that's how I feel.
But you went into this draft feeling that the talent at 11 was not good. So why are we upset if they're trying to flip 11 into better assets down the line that also clears cap space, that gets Jalen Brunson, who we've talked about before, that we are both on board with? I don't understand where the frustration is that we don't know what the haul is. But other than that, it just kind of feels like we're searching for things that are frustrating. And I don't see how that's apparent right now.
Come on, Jeremy. They got a do-over from something they did last year that didn't work out.
I understand, but that wasn't the whole reason with the 11th pick. It's not like they traded the 11th pick to clear Kemba.
That's the 11th pick on the timeline.
Look, that's how it's going to get made, and I'm not trying to make it out to be that way. I want to be very clear. I'm not trying to make it out to be that way, but...
Is it pessimism that they are going to get Brunson, that they're doing this for nothing?
No, it's kind of why I wrote what I wrote today, which is I don't want to get into that. If anybody is not a subscriber to the Knicks Film School newsletter, go subscribe.
I will second it. Like, my frustrations that I had last year with the front office echoed a lot what you were saying. So
there is a clear plan in place here, and they have stuck to that plan to their credit, because they know the best way you get a star in the NBA today is to trade for them. So what are they doing? Trying to win as many games as possible, which, by the way, we've all been screaming and yelling. That's what the Knicks should do. They're in New York. Try to win games. They have tried to do that. They've tried to accumulate assets. All of these things. My recent frustration has come purely from the fact that in the interim, I feel like they have maybe potentially ignored some of the nuances of having a healthy, functional organization where things have clearly gone haywire. We could all sit here and admit the last year did not go as they planned.
Sure.
I'll just finish and then I'll turn it over to you. Tonight is at least an acknowledgement. Like, okay, look, this didn't go the way we wanted it to. But we know how to make it better, and we feel good about the valuation and like the direction we're going. And I'm on board with all of that. It is just like, this is like the very basic in NBA fan in me. This is as basic as it gets. I'm admitting that. Where it's like, well, we're not getting the 11th pick, and instead we're, you know, the potential of like getting some young, exciting player because we needed to use it to facilitate this other thing. And I get it. It's not that simple. Like, the talent drop off was, I think, real after 10. It's just, there's something in my core that it doesn't sit right with me. I'm not even saying it's rational. That's all.
But I feel like we're confusing unorthodox for not functional, because what the Knicks are doing, we don't often see this. It seems like they're kicking the can down the road, right? Isn't that the problem constantly? They're kicking the can down the road, Why are they kicking the can down the road?
No, let me very briefly be clear. It is the fact that like the attention to detail over the last year, I'm not sure. And maybe even before the last year, I'm not sure that it's been there. It's Elaborate. Not about the process, but they, like, for instance, they brought in Kemba Walker, who was a point guard that, by everything we've come to understand, their head coach never wanted to begin with.
Who we and were happy with them signing when it happened.
Yeah, of course. But like,
okay. You know, so hindsight's 2020.
What is this? Exactly. Yeah. And look, what would be the worst thing they could do? The worst thing that they could do would be to say, not own up to their errors and make them worse, right? Which they're not. Sure. Clearly, they're not doing.
I don't fully understand where the point of contention is. I get it. You wanted someone shiny. That's what you just said. You just said you wanted a player for this year, but you're also saying that the drop off was bad. They tried doing the exact same thing they've done every single year. They tried trading up for Obi. They didn't need to. They tried trading up for Duarte. They didn't get him. They tried trading up for Ivy. It didn't work. So what else are they supposed to do at that point? Stick at 11 and take a player that you might not like?
No, of course not. I'm just, it's much more. That's why I said this is a basic take, is that you are using at least part of the value of a lottery pick to undo something that didn't work out.
The other pieces here. Undoing it would imply that it's 11 to dump Kemba. That's not.
It's not. It's not. It's not 11 to dump Kemba. And we need to see what the other pieces are. But that. But there is a part of the valuation here is that they are getting rid of Kemba.
I understand. But if they're getting multiple first round picks or picks that are like,
Even if it's one pick, I'll take it. If it's a decent pick.
But that's the other part that we don't have.
I know.
So you're arguing against it when we don't know what it is and we don't have it in front of us.
Well, I just got a text from someone saying that they don't, a person who theoretically should know still doesn't know what picks they're keeping and giving away. So maybe that's up in the air. Anyway, I'm not disagreeing with you. I get exactly where you're coming from. We just
need more information. That's all.
Yeah, we do. It's fine.
And then we can reassess. And if my opinion changes, then my opinion will change.
Yeah. You guys good?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
You need to go to Brooklyn and hug it out?
Oh, this would be a Jeremy.
I'm letting you know. Benji and I texted each other. We'll just let them sort this out while Benji eats a snack. Okay, so some super chats. Let's catch up. We got a while. So this is going to go back to before my computer crashed, and we're going to read some chats while they might be getting Jaden Ivey. Okay, from Travis Stroud. Please, no Brogdon. Jesus, I seconded.
I think we're past that point.
I think we're let's all be thankful that that's what they didn't do.
Ray Marcano, shout out Ray. The Knicks draft so far is like my first kiss. Lots of anticipation and terribly disappointing because I didn't get what I really wanted. Is that part of where you're coming from, John? That it's like, yes, the dust hasn't settled and it's tough to make a final analysis on this, but I'm disappointed.
No, it's a process thing for me. It's just a process thing for me. That's all. I'll leave it at that.
Ryan Menzies, who was with us for our watch party when we went to the Garden. Shout out, Ryan. Could this be more ... continuous soup?
Why would this be continuous soup?
I don't know. He's just asking.
No,
if it's not.
It's not, because the whole point with continuous soup would be going over the cap. Mitch is still continuous soup because you can extend him after you hit the salary cap. This is different. This is trying to get presumably Jalen Brunson.
Poor Robert Cross. Robert Cross. The deal is done in Leon We Trust. Hashtag 53 wins. Rev John Ortiz. The look on Claudio's face is all of us right now. Apparently, yeah. When I was frozen, I had a look. I did not get to see it. From Trish D. I'm still focused on Patrick Ewing Jr. in parentheses, Kofi Cockburn. In the second round, don't let the Bucks, Wiz, or Hawks take him. We need a reliable center. From Juan Cruz, why do you hate Kyrie, Andrew? No comment.
Where to begin?
Yeah. It's Chris Jericho that has the scroll meme, yes. Right? Where it's great a lot. Yeah, that meme. Parrish Duggar, Knicks are going for Jalen Brunson. It's Brunson. He said that in all caps. I better get Brunson. It's Brunson. Robert Cross, the new guy. Don't. this is talking about our former guest, Mr. Perlman. That new guy don't have Dookie on you, Benji. Hashtag 53 wins. Thank you, Spencer, for joining us tonight and giving us some of your time. Frank Corona Jr., let's be real. Should we really be that excited to pay Brunson 25 to 30 a million a year per year over 4 years? I'll pause on that. Did a whole cap or no cap about his value.
There's nothing more I can say that I haven't already said.
Yeah.
In a cap or no cap.
Should we be excited?
Benji, you haven't given any Brunson takes on the pod because we haven't seen you in a minute.
I believe. So what are your thoughts about Jalen Brunson?
Yeah, you've talked about him.
I have talked about him.
Since we've done the cap or no cap and it's been the off season.
Yeah. Salary cap implications aside, just the player and the value, and you can't really separate those things, but that's kind of how I'm programmed to think. It's an overpay. I don't think he is that. I don't think he's worth that money. That doesn't equate to it's the wrong move for the Knicks. And I understand and appreciate that. And that's what I know Jeremy gets into a bunch on his various platforms that he's spoken about this. I think he is a very good player. I think he's a very limited player. I think he lack of spacing is going to be damaging, and he's going to find things much more crowded than he did in Dallas. That's my take.
So this is the next comment, which I think coincides with your take, Benji. And look, Jeremy and Chris, in their disagreements, both prefaced their thoughts on any Jalen Brunson to do it or not do it with it. It matters if Julius Randle is still here. Like, that is still like a part of the equation.
So
Alex, hold on. Alex says, is it possible that Rose is getting picks to help facilitate a Randle trade? He knows he's on the chopping block, and that's one way to lessen the heat.
No, Randle's not. I mean, look, what the hell do I know? Wow. By the way,
Malachi Branham fell to 20.
Yeah.
I thought the Spurs were going to get him at 9.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He fell.
Spurs end up getting him at 20. It's good value.
I don't think Randle's going anywhere. Everything I understand about how they're approaching things is that Randle's not going anywhere. I think the plan is to treat the situation with Randle differently next year, in terms of
his role.
Because like as irked as Knicks fans everywhere were about the fact that he got carte blanche and like the whole thing, like it, Knicks fans weren't the only ones that were irked. And the only person whose opinion really matters was irked quite a bit. I don't think you're gonna see the same sort of thing. Now, whether Randle's any better or not, who the hell knows? But I don't think they're gonna trade him. I don't know. I think it's going to be a different looking offense. Whether that means Obi gets more minutes, whether they play together, I can't tell you.
Next up from Danny Gardner. It's another Brunson take. Sizable contribution, by the way. Thank you, Danny Gardner.
Thank you, Danny.
Brunson is a sub all-star level point guard. This can't have all been for this. Not to mention they're going to pay RJ, Mitch, and are paying Randle. They've dug themselves in a corner of mediocrity. Yikes. Jeremy wants to throw his computer.
I don't know how many times I have to say that it's fine to operate as an over-the-cap team. It's really okay. Like, all this concern when the Knicks are over the cap isn't going to mean shit. Right now, because the Knicks are going under the cap, sure, it's important. But the Knicks are going to be over the cap if they got Brogdon or D'Lo or any point guard that they were clearly interested in getting. That's not the concern. And it's all about how you structure the contract. So when you get to the point where the salary cap jumps in 2025, you're in good shape.
Yeah, I'm going to back you up on that. It's not like becoming a better basketball team without... Like, it's not a bad thing. There are ways in which you could do it the wrong way. So let's say, so shout out to Smitty 2698, who just DM'd me this. This is Rod Boone's tweet about the compensation. So it looks like the Knicks. So for the Knicks to get Jalen Duren, they gave up their own.
Their own second in
2024.
And 2024.
The Dallas Miami pick that was traded over in the Fournier sign and trade, right? That's where they got that 2023 Dallas Miami second, or am I confused?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't the Fournier deal, though.
It was something else where they got that. Whatever. They got not a great pick. A 2023 second, yeah. Utah's 2023 second, which is coming from the Knicks. The Knicks' own second round pick next year. Interesting. That might be good. Well, we hope it's not a great pick.
We'll see.
We'll see. And then here's the big one. The Denver first round pick in 2023, which is one of the picks that they got from Oklahoma City. So the Hornets got all this, sent Jalen Duren temporarily to the Knicks, and then the Knicks sent Jalen Duren to the Pistons along with Kemba Walker. Right?
But what we're missing still is the multiple first round pick.
The other pick, but it is. So really the way to look at, there's two ways to look at this. One, what would you rather have, Jalen Duren or Kemba Walker? Did I phrase that correctly? Right.
Well,
or not Kemba
no,
Walker.
No, it's still not that though.
Well, no, it kind of is because this is a straight up. It seems like this is straight up. The Knicks gave up a bunch of stuff to get Jalen Duren from the Hornets. And then the Knicks gave Jalen Duren to the Pistons with Kemba Walker. So the question is, very simply, what would you rather have? Jalen Duren or not Kemba Walker?
I still don't. Because the Knicks gave up 3 seconds, but they're getting 2 firsts. They also gave up Kemba.
Yeah, but my point is like the Oklahoma City trade is its own thing. They then turned around and used something from the Oklahoma City trade to facilitate getting Jalen Duren. And then they turned around and flipped Jalen Duren with a bunch of stuff they already had, nothing from the Hornets, to get rid of Kemba Walker. So there are two separate conversations here. One, would you rather have Jalen Duren or not Kemba Walker, which if anything, this speaks to the fact that Mitch is back, which is somebody just reached out to me and said Mitch is going to be back, which has been reported anyway. And two, this was the price to unload Kemba Walker. And it's essentially 4 second-round picks, the best of which is the Knicks second-round pick next year. No, I have it as a 2023 Knicks second, a 2023 Utah second, a 2023 Dallas-Miami second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
And a 2024 Knicks second. Mm. So 4 seconds. And again, two of them are the Knicks owns. And Denver's first round pick next year. Now, Denver, if I had to bet on it right now, I would bet on them finishing second or third in the West. So essentially, you gave up a super, 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 super late first round pick in a draft in which you already have a late first round pick to dump $9 million.
Yeah, that's not good. That not part of it's not good. The question then is like what the other deal is.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm eager to see what that other part is. Then I can assess and then I can have a change.
Well, yeah. And it's to get off Kemba Walker and to not take somebody who would raise your salary, right? Because you're also clearing that pick's salary.
Yes.
Which they felt like they had to do, I suppose, in order to get Brunson, presumably.
Man, if they don't sign Brunson next weekend.
Let's not go to that place yet. I don't even want to talk about it. I mean,
that honestly, it does go to just how good you think Brunson is. Like, yeah, I said Brunson will make the Knicks better next year. And for the duration of his contract, he's a good player. He's a good basketball player. He just had an amazing playoffs. You don't just have an amazing postseason. And not, like, he's indisputably a very good basketball player who will help your team. In terms of like where the Knicks are in the timeline, and I guess depending on what you think of Duren or anyone else that you could have taken at 11, that's curious to me.
You saw that, Steph Bondi? The Knicks do not have
Bondi and Fred Katz both tweeted the Knicks don't have a first round pick in this draft.
Meaning they're not trading into the draft anymore.
Oh, they all just got a text from whatever. I don't talk about that.
So the Knicks are basically what of the scenarios that we painted at the beginning of the night, trading out was one of them. They did that, it looks like. Okay.
Man, giving up a pick in that draft.
Again, I just want to see everything. I could very easily change my tune. It's just a question of what it is. But yeah, it's like
so much.
The thing is, if you, the seconds I don't care about. The seconds, whatever. The first is the question.
You don't care about them because you had a lot of them.
Right.
And you have a lot of them because you want to have the ability to turn around and use them for something that is important.
Then Bondi reporting, the Knicks received 3 conditional first-round picks from the Thunder for their 11th pick. That's a haul.
Well, again, it
depends. This is why we wait.
Did one of them go out in the Kemba?
Just the Denver pick.
Okay.
So that would mean that they would be netting 2 first-round picks for trading back one space.
So it's interesting 13. That they say conditional, because again, there's so many funky things involved with
the Clippers, for example.
Yeah,
that's because the Thunder have the right to swap with the Clippers, but they're not going to do that because they're going to be a worse team than the Clippers. So the Clippers will retain their pick next year. The question then is, it's Detroit. They're protected 19 through 30, or I'm sorry, protected 1 through 18. Denver protected 1 through 14, which is now in Charlotte. And then the Wizards protected 1 through 14. So this is where the trickle of information is very important.
It's still, though, you're giving up a first round pick in 4 seconds to dump Kemba.
I hear you. I'm just saying.
That's just so frustrating.
Let me ask you this, right? Okay, we're talking about Brunson. What happens if there's a sign and trade for Brunson and the Mavs want to extract something of value? Didn't you say that your thought was that it's going to cost them the first round pick to facilitate the deal? Is this not essentially, is this, it's obviously more, but is it not similar?
So, no, to your credit, we had this very conversation. We literally had this conversation where it's like, what is it going to cost to keep the space versus what is it going to cost to do the sign and trade? And if the, and again, it's the NBA, so obviously tampering doesn't exist. But if the Mavs are being such fucking stubborn assholes that they're like, fuck you, go clear the space.
And they did, you know. All right, I'm going to continue with the super chat.
Sorry, I just
wait for more information.
Man,
to come in.
This is all such a mind fuck.
Chris Kastner, thank you for your contribution. I'm not going in I'm guessing this is the Bleacher Report community for a month. It's about to be the most toxic place. I'm guessing that's a space or green room or something like that.
I don't even know what that is.
To the Bleacher Report app.
Okay.
Couldn't you have stretched Kemba and or Noel to clear that space?
Yeah, so they could have.
The conventional wisdom all along was that they would move Burks, stretch Kemba, and then if you don't have the salary of the first round pick, that gets you there. Because actually Burks, I think, makes about a million more.
And what if they did make that pick? How could they have cleared the space?
That impedes things massively because it's $4.5 million.
Right. Mm. So
I get the part about not wanting to pay the first round pick because that screws with everything you're doing. But your question is a valid one, which is like, couldn't you just stretch Kemba? Because like, I'll say this.
Philly is trading the 23rd pick for D'Anthony Melton. That's likely to be Danny Green going back.
Yeah.
Just to guess.
That's a nice pick.
But like, yeah. Well, I'm trying to give some like silver linings here. It's not good to stretch contracts.
No, 100%. But if you're admitting your mistake anyway.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know.
Just in response to your question, Benji, my read on this is that they feel strongly that they have something lined up for either, whether it's Noel or Burks, that is, because otherwise I think you would have rather included one of their salaries in this deal to get off of that and then stretch Kemba. Because if you're keeping the other ones and you paid this price to stretch Kemba, it makes no sense to then go and stretch Noel or stretch, obviously they're not going to stretch Burks, but like stretch Noel. Am I being clear here? I don't know.
That does make sense. Right. I do understand your frustration where like this is what you had to do to get off Kemba. I think not picking the 11th pick is almost a separate conversation.
It's a completely separate conversation. And and again, I think the mind fuck of it is really the part of it of like of I can't believe we actually had this conversation. If Dallas does go fuck you, go clear the space.
Yeah. They went ahead and did it.
They went ahead and did it. This is what they did. They were like, okay, fine.
The argument, though, Benji, that I will say that goes in favor of why you could stretch them or one of them. If the Knicks are going to be above the salary cap, you know, after they load up this year, right? It's like $3 million. Then the next 2 years, it would be around $3 million each if we're talking Kemba. If they're over the salary cap and they're not close to the tax apron or the luxury tax, why couldn't they have just done that? I think that's a very fair question to ask. Would you rather, if you're the Knicks, have multitude of seconds and the Denver pick as opposed to like facilitating this to dump Kemba outright? That I think is fair. And right, I would like, if that were the case, I would have preferred that than to this. Right. The other piece of this, because again, free agency does tie into all this and it's not just Jalen Brunson. If the Knicks turn Alec Burks into an asset to clear space for the younger players, that's exactly what we want, isn't it? And then you add to the pile and then you look at it holistically and you say, okay, what came in? What went out? Was this the right move? And I'm sure there are people who are going to dislike Jalen Brunson, assuming he even signs here, and say, no, it was all bad. I hate it. I respect that. But I think we just need to get all the information, at least from tonight in first, and then take it one step at a time with free agency, see what the Knicks do there.
Just very quickly, the other part of this that I just want to throw in is the fact that they do have the Dallas pick, because it's like if all goes according to plan next year and the Knicks are like good, like it's nice to have a late first round pick and a good draft. You had a cheap, you know, a cheap serviceable player on a nice rookie contract, right?
Good and call, Jeremy. Danny Green headed to Memphis. Good call, Jeremy.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, that's a good asset.
Go ahead, John. Go ahead, finish.
No, and just gonna say it's a good asset to have, but like you don't want to have too many assets in like that. Like there's probably no world where they're taking two late first round bites of the apple plus their own pick that they are probably gonna have, and who knows where that ends up. Anyway.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey guys, quick break to tell you about our new sponsor, HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh offers the flexibility you need with customizable orders every week. You can add extra proteins and sides, change up the serving size when you have guests, or just double up on your favorite recipes so your box works harder for you. You can easily change your delivery days or food preferences or skip a week whenever you need. Feeding the whole family has never been easier with larger box sizes for more servings and more savings. HelloFresh also offers convenient, contact-free delivery right to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. The recipes are easy to follow and quick to make, with steps and pictures to guide you along the way. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips, so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in about 30 minutes or less. HelloFresh is 30% cheaper than shopping at your local grocery store. Plus, you skip the checkout lines. Try our quick and easy meals, which include 15 to 20 minute dinners, breakfast on the go, and 10 minute lunches in HelloFresh Market. Perfect for your busy schedule. Enjoy restaurant quality meals for less in the comfort of your own home. HelloFresh's gourmet recipes like balsamic fig sirloin are over 72% cheaper than an average restaurant meal. Look, guys, I don't have to tell you how busy I can be with all the work I do for Nick's Film School, as well as my show Final Review. My fiance is just as busy, and when that question comes up every night, what do you want for dinner, rarely do we both have answers. Well, we've actually been customers of HelloFresh for over a year, and we're thrilled when we found out about the sponsorship. Not only is the food delicious, but it's convenient to make and takes away that simple anxiety of what you're going to have for dinner that night. They send you a week's worth of meals, you cook them, you prepare them, you eat them, and then by the weekend, a new box for the following week shows up. It's that simple. Go to HelloFresh.com/FilmSchool16 and use promo code FilmSchool16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/FilmSchool16 and use promo code FilmSchool16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
Thank you, everybody, for your generosity tonight. Almost 1,500 people still here watching us live here on YouTube. So thank you for joining us tonight. Bernard Richardson, very, very confused, but theoretically, Knicks picked up multiple future firsts and traded 11 and Kemba for cap space, which is essentially trading 11 and Kemba for Brunson and multiple firsts, right? Question mark?
Yeah,
more or less. We just don't know what's going on. Yeah.
And the second's going out. Yeah.
We just don't know the first, sir.
Kevin Danishevsky, is it possible that the OKC first help us get Spida? And I will add on to his question. Throw DeJounte Murray into that question.
Well, Murray wouldn't have an impact.
No, just like instead of like, could these multiple firsts be chips for a guy? Is rather than what we're all assuming is just the play for Brunson.
See, to me, that's why, as Jeremy has been correctly pointing out, so much of this really does come down to what are the other picks, because it takes so long to scroll through all of Oklahoma City's incoming first round picks. And here's the other thing, like Brock Aller's involved here. So did the Knicks potentially acquire the right to have some optionality as to which of multiple first round picks they have a choice of in a future draft? Because that's the thing, is when you're Oklahoma City and you have so many future firsts coming in from different teams, if you're the Knicks, potentially maybe they crafted some language where, obviously with some kind of protections, maybe we're getting the better of two or three different things that the Oklahoma City Thunder have in a future draft, which, if that's the case, that is the sort of thing that if you're trading for trying to trade for a star player, that could be very appealing.
I also have a potential theory. We'll see if it comes true or not. So the Knicks are obviously opening up cap space for what seems like Jalen Brunson. When they get over the salary cap, like I said, if they're trading Alec Burks and they're trying to trade him for an asset, if they traded him to a place like Boston with no salary coming back, that would grant the Knicks a $10 million traded player exception. And the Knicks could then use that exception to take on good salary for a good player or bad salary with pick attached. That is kind of like what Brock Aller has done in the past, creating TPEs in a way that can help move you forward. So my guess would be under the cap team, they do their business, they go over the cap. Once over the cap, that's when they try to then make other moves, securing assets. And I talked about this for the most recent Cream, the importance of trade player exceptions. It's not the most crucial thing for a team like the Knicks, because they're not in the position that a team like the Celtics is in, but it's still something that's of value, and it can kind of like keep breeding more assets down the line. I don't like the fact that that's what it costs to give up Kemba, right? I'm happy to say that now that we have the information in front of us. I don't mean to be beating a dead horse or be a broken record here. I just want to know what else is there, and then we can move on from it. But that's how you navigate from a under the cap to the over the cap perspective and where it comes into play.
Next question, next super chat real quick. Also, it goes to what Kevin was saying. This is from Sage of Knicks Path. Sage of the Knicks Path. Excuse me. Depending on how many picks, the Knicks could be setting up a Drew Holiday type deal, which, for those who don't know, first of all, what the Drew Holiday deal was, it was what, 2 players, 3 picks and 2 swaps? Unprotected first and 2 swaps, which it was Milwaukee first, so they expect to be in the late 20s anyway.
I mean, if they want to go trade for Jonathan Murray, I'm sure they can. After this, it'll involve their own picks, I'm sure, too. But that would not jive with the cap space angle at all. So they're not at all. You're not getting DeJounte Murray. That's not
the Drew Holiday.
Go ahead. If the Knicks went after DeJounte Murray and even took him into the cap space that they'd have, I would actually be furious because of the fact that you could have used matching salary to go get DeJounte Murray, and then you would have burned picks to dump Kemba, where you could have just been an over the cap team in the first place.
Right.
That's where I'd be furious.
That's the Steve Mills move.
And for those who don't know why Drew Holiday type deal is quoted, is because was it earlier today the Hawks and Spurs were connected in some type of John Collins for DeJounte Murray rumor, in which the Spurs were apparently reported to say it would take a Drew Holiday type package to get that deal done, which I just want to remind everybody, when the Bucks made that trade for Drew Holiday, the next move they made was signing Giannis to an extension, which is more like they traded for Holiday to guarantee that Giannis signed long term, making those picks a guarantee of late in the draft, barring Giannis doesn't get hurt.
There's actually a part of me that feels a little bad that they're going to get raked over the coals for this Kemba deal.
Of course. Yeah.
I feel a little bit bad. Because
you lit the fire?
No, please. I don't have that ability. But like, when you...
Your ass was reporting things earlier. What are you talking about?
It's just... I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure they don't like it any more than I... You know, they'll love it, but I get it. But on paper, it just doesn't look good. Anyway,
because we're missing like four of the pages.
So let me catch up. We're like an hour behind.
I hear what you're saying.
But yeah. Like these chats are like, what did we get from OKC? Like,
all right, let's keep going.
This is from Hush Zoo. Shout out Hush Zoo. Also a patron. For those who want to, please sign up for our KFS Patreon, where more of this discourse exists. If Jang becomes Giannis 2.0, this team is cooked. Also, what do we get from OKC? I'm still so confused on that. Still same. Walking us through this better than ESPN. Thank you, Dom. I think I prefer this method than anyone at 11. You know, I guess it's fair. Frank from Patreon. What's up, fellas? It's your boy Frank from Patreon. Us Knicks fans, please, let's collectively agree to never utter the phrase team-friendly deals again.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
All I could think of is last year when the Kemba contract was announced. I think we had a brief conversation on the live stream. Like, I wonder if they got an option on that second year. Nope.
Well,
it's not.
We were wrong. Yeah. I was wrong.
No, I'm not blaming. I remember we had the conversation.
That did not age well.
No, did not.
One thing I'll say about the 11th pick, once draft day hits, it's no longer like the asset, the 11th pick. It's only as good as the players that can be drafted with it. Right. And it becomes like the pick has now a name or a group of potential names associated with it. And like, there's going to be a lot of, they traded the 11th pick and it should be more and the discussion, and you might love some of these players. So, I personally didn't, I don't think John, you were in love with any of the options either. And again, depending on what they get in the future, it's not necessarily the word. That aspect of the deal, I think, could be a positive, even though I think people will be frustrated because everybody loves a new draft pick. But I don't. That element of the trade or of this day, of what the Knicks, everything they did today, I think I am not upset about, because it's not just the 11th pick. It's who they actually drafted with it, and what do we think of those guys? I'm not overwhelmed.
Stefani just tweeted, I'd love for Leon Rose to answer some questions. I'll say it for you, Jeremy. To say what? Like, it's not, this isn't rocket science, folks. I love Bondi.
I'm sorry. Fuck that. We created an entire summer's worth of content. We don't need Leon Rose to speak to us to be able to churn out good shit. Fuck it. I don't care. Bondi, do your own shit.
Yeah. Cap or no cap, is there out there for anybody?
It's because, look, people may not like what they're doing. So it gives an opportunity to force him to stand up there and talk about the thing that people don't like. Neither here nor there. All right, what's the next super chat?
Forgotten NYC with back-to-back. Even though we traded the pick, it's just hilarious to me that, of course, we took the Euro that nobody's heard of in the lottery. unless you're Chris Bersiainen, who has been talking about all of these Euros in the lottery. Benji, you're caught up on the Yankee game, right? Holy shit, Aaron Hicks. This team.
A game-tying homer, right?
Yeah, game-tying three-run homer off the guy that the Mets couldn't touch yesterday. They're infuriating.
Damn it.
What?
San Antonio just took Blake Wesley at 25. I like Blake Wesley. Not that I thought the Knicks were like trade up to get him, but like, yeah.
Whoops. Anyway. Another one, Forgotten NYC. Leon has to do something, right? Scared of Mills. We'll see.
He's very clear what he's doing. Whether it works or not, we'll see.
Sean Ford, don't like trading out. Not a single one of our vets could net a late lotto pick in return, and we just punted on one. I like Brunson. Hope we get him. Just a little concerned to devalue draft. Thank you, guys. One thing I will say, the overwhelming sentiment just among the, and this is like the smallest of sample sizes, but like my friend group, which are all diehard Knicks fans. They're pretty informed as well. The overall sentiment tonight was like, if they walk away tonight and Obi Toppin and Emmanuel Quickley, and even to an extent, Quentin Grimes are still here, I'll be able to still like live with it. Like going up and getting Ivy is nice, but as long as this core that we've fallen in love with hasn't been broken up to take a swing, then I'm good with it. Like Berman reporting that it's going to take Quickley. Maybe it is what it took was going to take. It was going to take Quickley to get up to Ivy. And, you know, the Knicks were like, no, we're not giving you Emmanuel Quickley.
Well, two things real quick. I want to say this before and I forgot, is I'm fascinated to know whether anything would have been different if Johnny Davis would have been on the board. I think we got it from Shams.
It's the 2023 protected first rounder from Detroit, 2023 protected first rounder from Washington, and the 2023 protected first rounder from Denver, which is going to Charlotte.
Now the Knicks have theoretically four first round picks next year.
But it's theoretically. It's theoretically.
So it's not, three protected it's and not, then their own.
The Detroit so the protections. Yeah. Sorry, this is your wheelhouse.
It's fine. The Detroit pick is protected 1 through 18. So unless they make the playoffs and get, you know, as low as the 19th pick, that's going to keep going down the line. Same thing with the Wizards, only it's lottery protected. So I think that there are a couple ways you can look at it. Number one, if you're the Knicks, yes, there is an opportunity for you to have four first round picks next year. It's not likely to happen. The question then is, how many do you get? How many are you willing to package if you want to trade up? My opinion was, going into today, get a high ceiling primary option this year or next year. They tried to do it this year. It did not get it done. It now shifts to next year. You have the ammo. There's no excuse to not do it, especially if you can get more ammo using, like I said, maybe it's Burks. Maybe you deal Cam to create more space. I don't really know. But that's how you keep trying to get, you know, solidify a better position to trade up next year. The question then is, do you trade up next year? Is there a star that becomes available? So it's not really 2023 picks. It's more like, hey, it could happen in 2023, but they're just future picks that will help us down the line. And that's good.
I'm just in the process of tweeting this out. So the downside is just that you're not getting a possible future number one pick. Both of the picks that the Knicks are retaining they terminate as future, as like 2 seconds if like they don't convey by a certain point. The upside is that they are likely to convey. You know, Detroit, whether it's, I would say probably right now, it's actually, you know, the Detroit pick is interesting because it's top 18 for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
You could see them taking another couple of years to get into that. But then by the time they're there, you know, I mean, they might be pretty good. I think the Washington pick is the more interesting one just because of how they've been as a franchise for a while. That's the better asset. And I think what you're banking on is the Wizards at some point being just not bad enough, or just not good enough, whatever you want to say, for this to be like the 11th pick in 2025 or something.
The one thing that's conflicting is that obviously we know the Knicks want to get better, but what the Knicks essentially would want is for these teams to finish with better records than them so that the pick conveys. Do you know what I mean?
Say that again.
Like, you want the Knicks want to do well on their own. They want to make the playoffs. They want to seem like a good team. But also, if you're telling me the Wizards just need to essentially make the playoffs in order for this pick to convey, you're kind of rooting for the Wizards to make the playoffs. If for the Pistons, right? Like, you want them to do well because then the pick conveys. It's just a matter of the timing. These picks also may not even be here. It could be similar to last year where we thought that the Hornets pick that was protected might be here for a while. They shipped it out. So it's kicking the can down the road. Obviously, the question, of course, is how long is this road?
Benji, I don't know. Any thoughts? Yankees won. God damn it.
That's my thought. Aaron Judge did it again.
Hell yeah.
Oh, God.
Man, I was hoping, I'll just say real quick, I was hoping that they would have gotten one of those, the Clippers or what? Sorry.
Genji, your thoughts. John gives his.
Sorry. Thought. Sorry.
I think I was going to say the same thing, actually, as John, which is the two picks, I was hoping for a bit more there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty heavily protected picks.
Yeah.
It's not like a celebratory night in Knicks land. I don't think anybody's like thrilled. We got rid of some salary, hopefully to get Brunson. And we get to watch at least we didn't add anybody that's going to block the guys that we want to watch. We didn't trade any of them. So that's a good thing. But it's, not a good night. It's not a good night. I don't see any spin here where we say this is a really good night for the new Knicks front office.
And Jake Fisher just tweeted out the picks with the protections. So
I just want to say, because I have eyes and I see the comments streaming and I see, Joe, Jeremy's on that copium. Like, again, copium. All I was at copium. It's a way of saying like you're hoping for something, you're coping with it. Copium. Okay. All I was saying was I wanted to see it was more to make a decision. That's really it. I'm with you, Benji. I'm not celebrating. To me, it's okay. What's the next step? Is it Brunson? What's after that? Moving from there. As of this moment, just judging the draft, I don't like the fact that one of the picks that was given to the Knicks was then used along with three seconds, to get Kemba out. I don't like that. I'm stating that emphatically. I don't like it. The question is then the two first round picks and then the cap space angle and getting all these other players. And then it's just so, it's like asking to review a movie when you're a third of the way through. You can say, I don't love this. I'm not a huge fan. I think this is good. I want to stick with it, but we don't know how it ends. We don't know how to bring it full circle. That's all I want. I just want to know how it comes full circle. And hopefully we'll find this out in early July. And then I will have my full informed decision. And maybe it will not be copium. Maybe it will just be the truth and how I feel.
Two things. One, there have been many movies that I've watched and then attempted to review that three quarters of the way through, I knew exactly how I was going to feel about this movie. Sure. I can't think of a movie that the last quarter, the final result changed my opinion. But, good point. And just a general advice for life, avoid the comments.
I was looking at Yes. I was looking earlier because there was a super chat comment and it just happened. I don't really care. I just wanted to say that piece and that's it.
There's now I'm done caring. An emotional reaction going on right now, which I get it. People had expectations tonight, and this to be the thing that we walk away with is disappointing no matter how you look at it. Okay.
So the Knicks draft at 42. We're going to see maybe they'll draft somebody.
I didn't think we'd still be on, but listen, 3 hours later, there's still 1,400 people here. So thank you, everybody, for sticking with us tonight. What's up?
No, I was going to just give it. It's not a celebratory night. Perhaps worse than that, it's not a surprising night at all. It's like, if you were to map this out, this is exactly what you would have expected them to do if the draft broke the way it did. And they were not able to. The other thing I meant to say before about my fascinating what ifs, other than if Johnny Davis was still available, what would they have done? The other one is who was the player? Was it a player that Detroit wanted? Was it another pick Detroit wanted? I don't know, because I don't know if this was reported somewhere, or if I got a text on this, but I think they were trying to get this to be Cam as the player. And I'm curious if that is indeed the case, which I can't say for sure. Was this about the difference between Cam and Quickley, or Cam and Obi, or something, Cam and Grimes? I don't know. That's something I'm curious about. And it is, again, a way to, and I'm this is going to come out badly. And it's a way for the front office to say, just wait a little bit longer. We got something coming. You know?
Yeah.
And that's nice for them to be able to do that, especially if they get the thing. But that's why, Jeremy, when you were like, I'll judge it in 2 weeks, I feel like we could be sitting, here's the difference. I don't think we're gonna be last. I was going to say we may be lasting for two more years. Like, how much longer is this going to go? I don't think they're going to get two more years. I'll say that. I think they get another year. And if they don't get the thing within a year, then we're going to be dealing with a new front office. That's my gut. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. You know, but yeah.
I understand the visceral reaction in that we went through an entire trade deadline and the lead up to the trade deadline where nothing wound up happening. And the whole thing was, okay, we're doing it this summer. And then the entire point of this season is, okay, we're getting a draft pick. It's 11th. This is the reward for a crappy year. The embodiment of that player is the reward. And the Knicks said, we're not going to have an actual reward for that. In fact, you have to wait even longer for that reward. And I get why fans are upset. I would love to be able to sit here and say, and talk my way through, like, I'm really excited for Jaden Ivey. I'm excited for Johnny Davis, all these different things. I am right there with fans. I would love that. But it's the fact of, yes, okay, you know, you've been waiting. You got to wait longer. Well, we've been waiting. Okay. Yeah, I know, but it's got to be longer than that. I hear you, but it just has to be. That's the whole point. You talk about a new front office. We got to get through free agency first. We got to get through next season. We have to see if this team is better than last year. What do we talk about? They went 37-45 in what was a bad year. That's a stone's throw away from a 500 season. I'm not saying that's good. I'm not saying that's great. I'm just saying that is improving on this past year, because that's the whole point. You want to show market improvement. That's the goal. They have to do it. But the reward is not there. It's stringing us along, and we feel like we haven't been able to cash in, and we want to cash in. And the Knicks are saying, no, you'll cash in later and you'll like it.
So I hate to bring it back to this again. Everything you just said is exactly why I wrote what I wrote today, because I'm fine with the trust us. I'm fine with trust us. Put it on a fucking t-shirt with the KFS logo. Trust us. I'll embrace it. But in the fucking meantime, put out a product that we at least feel good about. And the product that we just watched for 82 games fucking sucked, because the people running this team did not pay attention to detail. Detail like Julius Randle having his fucking head on straight. Detail like a head coach wanting the starting point guard to actually be his starting point guard. And then what the fuck do you do with him when it doesn't work out? Details like that. Details like, we just traded a first round pick for a guy and play him? No? Okay. Well, what the fuck are we going to do? Details like, you just got Evan Fournier into a role that, man, okay, it's a different role than everyone has to do before. I'll figure it out. But wait a minute. What about the locker room? How are we going to adjust when the veteran point guard that we just traded for is suddenly benched? And people are upset at that. and there's factions. This is all shit that veteran front offices know how to fucking deal with. Because that's what you do when you hire a front office that has done it before. And this front office has never done it before. They were brought here for a task, to bring in a star. And that task is still on the table. And I would get them fine with it. I love it. I love the idea. But in the meantime, there is nuance involved in running an NBA team, and they are not fucking doing it.
I agree.
It's time to do it.
It's a good rant. I agree.